quasi-cerebral talk and tunes. This is Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Here's what we've got cooking up this hour. You're tuned into Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. We are the campus community radio station broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast on unceded stolen lands of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Kwikwetlem First Nations. This episode of Typically Tuesdays was produced on unceded stolen lands of the Catesy, Kwikwetlem, and Stella First Nations. And here at Typically Tuesdays, we recognize the host nations as being the original storytellers and knowledge keepers of this place, and we thank them for their stewardship. I'm Leslie. Today, I will be talking about both the interview with the vampire Lestat, the television series, and also the Poe Clan by the manga artist Moto Hagio. I have been rotating this bird, this roasted chicken, rotisserie chicken of thoughts in my brain the past several months. Why do people like toxic Yuri and toxic Yaoi? Why do they like doomed Yuri and doomed Yaoi? If you are not familiar, in the past half year, maybe, there has been this trend on the internet in some like nerdy spaces where people just openly admit that their favorite ships and their favorite romantic stories center on queer relationships that have toxic dynamics and also that will not go anywhere, that are doomed either by the laws of the universe or something else. And as a lesbian of millennial age, that really peed my O. That really made me kind of angry. In my mind, hearing about people talk about openly how much they love toxic Yaoi, toxic Yuri, doomed Yaoi, doomed Yuri, I was like, these freaking young people don't know how good they have it. I remember when they used to bury our gays on television. And, you know, I was very like these freaking whippersnappers. And then I thought about it after I had watched The Vampire Lestat, and when Louis and Lestat came back together, they were once broken apart, and now they have been reunited, and they were holding each other tenderly at the end of the series. This couple, which by all accounts has a very unhappy and toxic dynamic, I almost cried tears of joy. So I had to really look in the mirror and be like, what is going on with me personally? That is kind of the topic today. And if you're lost, same here, because this is more so a self-reflective episode, if nothing else. I'm trying to interrogate my own toxic traits around loving, traumatized, deeply lonely queer vampire men. On the playlist today, because I was focusing originally on The Vampire Lestat, and canonically in the novel and also in the television series, Lestat becomes a rock star. In the television series, he becomes a glam rock star. I chose music that is rock forward, kind of heavy sounding. That is also kind of sad. He's a sad boy. Just, you know, let him be, you know. And of course, we're starting off the playlist with a little bit of the Vampire Lestat. This is Dancing With Myself here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM.
Down in London town to go-go, with the record selection and the mirror's reflection, I'm a dancing with myself. When there's no one else inside, in the crowded lonely night, why I wait so long for my low vibration, and I'm dancing with myself. Oh, oh, I'm dancing with myself. Oh, oh, I'm dancing with myself. Well, there's nothing to lose and there's nothing to lose, but I'm dancing with myself.
Yeah.
heard by Victorella off of her debut album, Victorella. You're on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. My name is Leslie. Shout out to Ben of Indica Records for sending me this album. And sorry to both Ben and Victorella for taking so long to play the record. I listened to the album right when he sent it quite a few weeks ago, but I had all these episodes that were planned, and because I tend to like to make playlists that are themed on the topic of discussion, I found that I didn't really have a chance to play a song from the record, and so I'm very excited to share Adored with you today, because personally, I think this album is a banger album. I do listen to it, like, when I am not making Typically Tuesdays, and it's very, very fun. I strongly encourage you to check it out. That's Victorella by Victorella, and it's a banger of a record. Go listen to it. I am talking about these sad little blorbos that I have. I don't know if I'm using that term correctly. I'm not a young person, okay? Like, I'm young, but I'm not, like, hip and with it, you know? So I don't really exactly know what a blorbo is. All I know is I have a strange affection for traumatized, lonely vampire men who are in relationships with other traumatized, lonely vampire men. Love it. That's my bread and butter right there. I feel like I gotta talk about this topic and begin my exploration of why I will make exceptions for toxic yaoi only if it is between traumatized, lonely, queer vampire men. By first talking about how I got into Interview with the Vampire, I actually have not read the novel series. I keep wanting to, and then I think about how long it is, and I'm like, nope, don't want to. I personally just enjoy some of the upgrades that they made on the AMC television adaptation more than I think I would enjoy what happens in the novel series. But essentially, you know, a few years ago, AMC started to produce a television adaptation of Anne Rice's Interview with a Vampire novel. And as it was being released, I hadn't watched it yet, but I was still using Twitter at the time. And somebody posted this GIF of the main characters, Louis and his lover, Lestat, like angrily, passionately making out. They're like pushing each other up onto the walls and like just like kissing each other feverishly. And the caption really got me. The user on Twitter wrote, "What kind of interview is this?" And I was like, I want to know what kind of interview this is. Dang, this seems awesome. So I started to watch it, and I became hooked right away. If you're not already familiar with Interview with the Vampire, the first novel in the series, I believe it's called the Immortal Vampire series by Anne Rice. It is about a vampire who is getting interviewed. That's it. His name is Louis de Pontillac, and in the interview, he is reviewing memories and experiences that he had before he was turned into a vampire by a French vampire named Lestat, who is his quote-unquote maker. And he talks about all of the circumstances that sort of like influenced him into becoming influenced him. My God, It's like he's getting targeted ads or something that pushed him really into becoming a vampire and agreeing to become Lestat's companion. As Lestat's companion, these two have a very emotionally intimate and also turbulent relationship. Eventually, Lestat and Louis turn a child named Claudia into a vampire as well, which is against the vampire world rules, because children who get turned into vampires will develop psychologically but not physically, and that can pose a number of qualms and problems. But anyways, they turn Claudia into a vampire and they raise her as their own child. At the same time, a lot of wild things happen to the family, and at one point Claudia is killed by a coven of vampires who find out that she was a child who was turned into a vampire. And it is very, very sad. The first two seasons of the AMC television adaptation follows largely what happens in the first novel of the series, Interview with the Vampire. The third season follows largely the second book in the series called The Vampire Lestat, in which Interview with the Vampire... Oh my god, how do I explain this? In which the interview that Louis had with his interviewer, Daniel Malloy, becomes so successful that it gets turned into, you know, it gets turned into a novel, it gets published, people read it, and Lestat is, like, so upset by it. He's like, you must know my side of the story. I am not this, all these terrible things that Louis told of me. I am a thoughtful chanteuse. I've seen things, I've been through things, and I have motivations, as valid motivations as to why I am kind of not the greatest person in the world. I'm flawed. Accept me for who I am, you know. Throughout the series, he goes on to this journey of trying to make, like, the greatest glam rock album of all time, hence the songs, some of the songs that we'll be hearing on today's playlist. We discover many very sad things about Lestat. Actually, and okay, listen, before you say anything, I am laughing out of deep discomfort. Okay, there is nothing funny about what Lestat has experienced in his life. His life is, like, truly, actually, incredibly sad, and it would drive basically anybody who's not a vampire totally mad. Many media critics and literary critics would go on to discuss how the success of Interview with the Vampire helped spearhead the resurgence of vampire literature, in great part because of how human the vampires feel, right? These are stories that are not about the human who is getting preyed upon. These are stories about people who become vampires through a very, you know, various circumstances, and how they lead their lives after becoming undead. I'll talk a little bit more about that after this music break. We're going to listen to some Mannequin Pussy. This is To Lose You here on CJSF 90.1 FM, typically Tuesdays.
Yeah. bird note. Former Washington Governor Jay Inslee made the fight against climate change a major priority during his three terms in office. He passed laws that cap greenhouse emissions, promote clean energy, and align state policies with global climate goals. Inslee says his love of birds is one of the motivations for his efforts.
Birdsong to me is just such a rich part of my daily life. It just perks me up. There are many threats to our birds where we're, you know, maybe one out of eight species are in real trouble worldwide. Obviously, habitat loss is significant, but climate change is the ultimate destroyer of worlds, including in bird life.
Inslee believes everyone has a reason to want to protect the environment.
You may want to have snow in the mountains to ski on. You may want to have air to breathe in August so that forest fire doesn't smoke your kids. So there's many reasons, but one of the principal ones for me is to keep birds in my life. You know, when I hear the red-winged blackbirds, you know, they're whistling, and I think they're whistling to say, get off your duff and go fight against climate change, partner. So they keep me inspired.
Learn more about the difference you can make for birds at birdnote.org. I'm Jonice Franklin. We'll be right back.